The Office of the State Historian is proud to present the New Mexico Digital History Project podcast series.
Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you for coming. So, there's the title. I guess I don't have to read it. Archives are the houses where memories are stored. Photographs, documents, and books retain the stories of the past, waiting to be unearthed, retold, and remembered. Far back, in a climate-controlled room and behind two locked doors, rests the collection of the New Mexico Jewish Historical Society, painstakingly organized by volunteers and members of the society. The records tell the rich story of the Jewish people of New Mexico and the foundation of a society created to preserve these memories. It would be easy for a researcher to not take into account how and why the records come into existence within the archives. Many could come across the records of New Mexican pioneers, never taking into account the preservation, accession, and the custodial integrity of the documents. Understanding the records can only give historians and the citizens of New Mexico a richer context, placing the records into a much larger story of Jewish American archives and history. The archives are not limited to merely educating researchers on American Jewish history. They can also serve as a starting point for researchers interested in archival studies. Elizabeth Kaplan researched the foundation of the American Jewish Historical Society in her article, "We Are What We Collect and We Collect What We Are, Archives and the Construction of Identity," to address crucial questions about constructing identity through an archives. Kaplan's essay discusses the power of archives to establish a collective identity and addresses the pitfalls of accepting the records of the repository as unvarnished truth when it has been systematically created by the founders on a distinct mission. This is an idea that helps to structure this examination of the New Mexico Jewish historical records as well. What this presentation is seeking to do is actually look at how Jewish history has been remembered in New Mexico. This process will be done by using archival and historical theory to describe the status of Jewish history in New Mexico. The creation of social memories within the context of archives or photographs seems to reinforce the tradition and closeness of the community. Jack Kugelmoss, in his discussion on folk ethnography, writes that, "For Jews, a symbolic ecology of books constitutes not so much the individuality of the owner, but a sense of membership within the collectivity, a vital link increasingly significant given the absence or fragmentation of other communal institutions. This vital link is also strengthened by the construction of an archive that is representative of the history of Jewish immigrants. The main focus of this presentation will be the records of the New Mexico Jewish Historical Society and the evolution of their newsletter." An organizational meeting was held on October 28, 1986. By the end of the meeting, the New Mexico Jewish Historical Society came into existence, complete with its first president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, and board members. James Mifcher would hold the title of first president, and Stanley Hortus would be the vice president. Vice President Stanley Hortus was put in charge of writing the statement of purpose for the society, which is also termed the mission statement. Within their first meeting, there was already talk about a field trip to Las Vegas in an effort to evaluate the Montefiore Cemetery and what would be necessary to restore this important cultural monument. More than 20 years later, the annual cleanup of the Montefiore Cemetery is still a high priority for the New Mexico Jewish Historical Society. During this significant meeting, Alan Hirst was appointed to be in charge of member recruitment. A discussion was made about procuring the member list in the Temple Beth Shalom, and decision was made to make a conscious effort to keep other Jewish societies in the West advised to the activities of the New Mexico Society. This meeting, unbeknownst to the participants, was reminiscent of a similar meeting almost 100 years prior. On June 7, 1892, 41 men met at the Jewish Theological Seminary in New York City to discuss the creation of a national Jewish historical society, and by the time the meeting was over, the American Jewish Historical Society had come into existence. The American Jewish Historical Society, or AJHS, was created to combat what founders saw as a rise in anti-Semitism and to create a cohesive American Jewish identity. Elizabeth Kaplan writes that, "The AJHS founders turned to archives as a mean by which to construct identity, and in doing so, they expressed their extraordinary confidence in the power of the document." The New Mexico Jewish Historical Society formed an archive committee on May 27, 1987, to begin the task of processing the records that had been previously accessioned to the society. Susan Campbell, a member and future president of the NMJHS, put in copious hours organizing the archives, and when the money ran out, she continued to do so on a volunteer basis. Other volunteers would continue to process the records in future years, and funding from the New Mexico State Advisory Board allowed members to become familiar with archival principles. Volunteers were sent to workshops and taught the fundamentals of arrangement, description, and processing. The advisory board hired a certified archivist to create a collection management policy and explain the volunteers' roles in the documents. In New Mexico Jewish Historical Society minutes from December 14, 1988, Hortus reported that the records were being stored at the New Mexico Records Center and Archives, which we're in right now. At this time, ownership remained with the society by the document, but the documents were on permanent loan. In 1997, the records moved with the rest of the state archives to its new location on Camino Carlos Rey, which is actually where we are now. And Sharon Lederman wrote in the January newsletter that, according to a new signed agreement, the NMJHS archive will receive the benefit of insurance and state-of-the-art document preservation while maintaining its independent long-term status. To better serve the records, the New Mexico Jewish Historical Society formally gifted the records to the state archives in 2002, but volunteers still play the crucial role in processing the records, and the Historical Society still accepts donations. The records that were being processed by the Historical Society were telling of a rich history of Jewish immigrants in New Mexico. Most of these immigrants traveled from Germany, looking to establish themselves as successful entrepreneurs in the Southwest. The German Jews of New Mexico date back to the last half of the 19th century, having built successful, flourishing communities in Las Vegas, Santa Fe, and Albuquerque. The records that told these stories have been utilized by the Historical Society in brilliant ways that illustrate the lives of Jewish pioneers, such as the Pioneer Exhibit at the New Mexico History Museum, the Oral History Project, and the publication of Family Histories. These family histories include the Ilfelds, Spiegelbergs, Bebos, and others. Randall C. Jimerson, former president of the Society for American Archivists, writes that when the disenfranchised find themselves excluded from the existing archives, they sometimes create their own archives, as was the case with the American Jewish Historical Society in the 19th century. Since preserving records within a repository is literally deciding what is remembered and what is forgotten, who in society is visible and who remains invisible, who has a voice and who does not, undertaking the preservation of records is not a neutral task. When the New Mexico Jewish Historical Society was founded in 1986 to preserve the histories of Jewish settlers in New Mexico, it made a point that scholars and the citizens of New Mexico had limited knowledge about Jewish history in New Mexico. Archives have their own histories. They are not simply the remnants of the past. They become part of the future as historians utilize their contents. As the inheritors of history, people must evaluate and reinterpret the past continuously. There is never absolute neutrality within the preservation of history, and there is even a more conscious effort of subjectivity when a cultural group sets out to preserve their own history. This supposes that Jewish Americans and all other groups create their culture identity through their own unique interpretation of the past. If each interpretation is distinct and separate, albeit valid, then a repository and scholarship that explains each specific interpretation is not only valid, but essential. Each piece creates a more complete picture of the group's history and memory. To conceptualize a group identity, Jewish Americans must reconcile ideas of national, religious, and cultural identity. An ethnic social memory consists of a whole community, not merely prominent figures. Jacob Rader Marcus, the founder of the American Jewish Archives in Cincinnati, and other prominent individuals of the Jewish community believed that American Jewry entered a new and significant stage in its cultural development. It was imperative that the community be furnished with the resources it required to sustain the field of American Jewish historical research. Marcus strongly believed that American Jewish history had intrinsic inspirational value and that it reinforced a Jewish identity and increased Jewish pride. Henry Feingold, an influential Jewish American historian, wrote that, "In order for a community that develops within the culture and space of another nation to survive, it needs to be aware of its own special historic experience, which contains a sense of its own worthwhileness." Forging an identity through an archival repository is a conscious effort. Materials are sought out in a methodical and appraising fashion. This makes the archivist, or in the case of the New Mexico Jewish Historical Society, and its members, active participants in the construction of history. The simple act of choosing what to collect and what to dispose of is making a conscious decision about what is history. Accession is deciding, often without precedence, what information will be valuable in the future. Records for the New Mexico Jewish Historical Society show that in many instances, the society was contacted by a party that was interested in including their papers to the collection. These actions show how communities and individuals also take active roles in constructing archives and creating historical documents. The collection policy is an integral part of an institution's message to the external and external forces that affect the archives. The collection policy gives potential donors clues to what the repository is seeking and serves as a reference point for the internal workings of the archives. The policy is also a construction that clearly delineates the scope of the repository and sets boundaries that shape the archives in a distinctly subjective manner. As Elizabeth Kaplan writes, "The archival record doesn't just happen. It is created by individuals and organizations and used, in turn, to support their values and missions, all of which is a process that is certainly not politically or culturally neutral. This subjectivity is not an inherently negative aspect, and within the scope of Jewish American archives, should construct means of cooperation and support among the vast repositories in the United States. The collecting policy embodies the relationships that the repository shares with the public, the collection, the donors, and other repositories. The collection policies are also descriptive and represent a part of the outreach program of a repository. A successful collecting policy can foster research and encourage cooperative instead of competitive efforts with other repositories. The purpose of a collection policy is to delineate collecting processes both internally and externally. A good collection policy is specific and informative. It should inform users and potential donors of the collection needs of the repository and should define not only the geographical or linguistic limits of our collecting focus and all the rest. It must also include a more specific definition and analysis of whatever phenomena we are hoping to record. The clear collection policy also facilitates communication between repositories. The New Mexico Jewish Historical Society papers state that the purpose of the archives is to... Now you guys can read it too. To acquire materials relating to Jewish families and enterprises in New Mexico. This program has two vitally related components, the acquisition and preservation of documents and objects and oral histories of Jewish New Mexicans. The purpose of acquiring and preserving this material is to provide support through a comprehensive collection for historians and others who wish to gain insight into the understanding of the Jewish experience in New Mexico. The document goes on to specifically describe the type of acquisitions that are accepted and valued as photographs, personal and business correspondence, books, diaries and journals, business records, creative projects, and other memorabilia. The New Mexico Jewish Historical Society website presents a different collection policy from that stated in their administrative papers. The online policy states that the New Mexico Jewish Historical Society welcomes donations of historical materials that document the Jewish presence in New Mexico. Materials should adhere to the following collection guidelines, which I've put up here. As a collection policy, this information fails on many levels. The third point, for example, which states only documents are accepted, but audio and videotapes are accepted media, is very unclear. There exist some inconsistencies, such as the first point mentioning maps and photographs, and the third guideline, once again, specifying only documents. The policy also fails to mention any language parameters, which is relevant information in New Mexican history and Jewish history. Outlining a repository's priorities should present a crucial part of the collection policy. A clear announcement of purpose helps not only the repository, but also the public in their dealings with the archives. Collection scope is the most straightforward way of informing the public about the holdings and needs of a repository. The New Mexico Jewish Historical Society does this with the first and second point of its online collecting policy. Guideline 2 imposes a greater value on documents that exist prior to 1945. But with Henry Tobias's new book, Jews in New Mexico Since World War II, it seems that there is an increased interest in the status of modern Jewish communities. This value system also ignores the reality that even the documents of today ultimately become historical, and that it is imperative to preserve and manage documents at every phase of their life cycle. While it seems out of the scope of most historical societies to become records managers to present-day records, the openness to accept more recent acquisitions should be explicit within the collection policy. Guidelines 4 and 5 from the online policy do a good job of setting up the power of the society over the accession and deaccession of records. The first guideline does a good job of cultural and spatial limitations. Since the inception of the society, there was a joint effort from the members and the community to actively seek out records that were valuable to sustaining the rich history of Jewish presence in New Mexico, and of welcoming the incoming donations as part of the society spread through the communities. The lack of clarity within the online depiction of the collection policy could ultimately cost the society donors. There are very important reasons behind having a successful collection policy. A collection policy is imperative within the repository because it gives the repository a framework for the acquisition of new records. Jewish American archives have the benefit of already having a specific focus: the acquisition of papers that document the lives of Jewish people in the United States, but this does not exclude them from the necessity of a collection policy. Jewish American archives must delineate their scope to promote the constructive acquisition of collections within the vast network of Jewish archives and historical societies, limiting themselves to regions, cities, counties, states, or topics within Jewish culture, which is evident in the New Mexico Jewish Historical Society's collection policy. This specification allows the society to consist concurrently with other societies, such as the ones in Arizona, Texas, and Colorado. Cooperation is crucial because, cut off from one another, archivists view their collections as self-sufficient, but this is an illusion. Each collection and each repository should become part of a larger collection, our nation's collection. This idea embodies the true mission of the Jewish American Archives: to create a national collection within the scope of networks of Jewish societies. Photographs are an integral treasure to the New Mexico Jewish community and can utilize. Visual images often inspire people in a way that textual documents are unable to accomplish. Photographs have the power to evoke emotional and visceral responses to history in a way that documents sometimes are unable to do, and the collection and preservation of visual images in Jewish history in New Mexico is a crucial component. While there is little doubt that members of the New Mexico Jewish Historical Society understand this, the online collection policy does little to explain this component of the archives. While photographing is one way of commemorating an ancestral past, cemeteries have become another voice of the past. Gravestones can tell so much more about a person than their name, birth date, and death. The location of a gravestone can not only symbolizes that a person was a participant within a specific community, but can also show familial ties and status within the community. The size and location of the gravestone are good indicators of how prominent the deceased person was. Crypto-Jewish scholars are looking for New Mexican cemeteries to participate as a type of archive as they search through the symbols of deceased New Mexicans, searching for the messages of a secret Jewish history. The Montefiore Cemetery has become an important symbol for Jewish residents of New Mexico, and it speaks clearly of the rich history of Jewish settlers in Las Vegas. On December 28, 1988, firefighters arrived around 3 a.m. to the Charles Ilford Memorial Chapel engulfed in flames. The Memorial Chapel had been an important landmark within the cemetery. The building had been on the National Register for Historic Places since 1985 and on the New Mexico Cultural Properties listing since 1984. Arson was immediately suspected. James Mafcher wrote a letter to the Las Vegas Fire Marshal Robert Gonzalez and beseeched him to investigate the arson, expressing the society's shock and horror of the event. Mafcher also states that he had been informed that there would not be an investigation, stating that already too much time has gone by, and letting Gonzalez know all of the work the society had been putting into Montefiore and the plans that they had for progress at the chapel. 6 days later, the society received the response from Fire Marshal Gonzalez. The response was that there was an investigation and that there had been several previous smaller fires due to the vandalism and trespassing. Marshal Gonzalez also stressed that these incidents occurred because the building was not properly secure, where people could not enter the buildings, and the adults as well as children had access to the building. The response to this horrible event, in correlation with the annual cleanup and restoration of the cemetery, clearly illustrates the society's vested interest in preserving the history that is contained within the gravestones in Las Vegas. In a proposal for the society newsletter in March 1987, it was stated that a newsletter establishes an image and identity for the society, something that members wanted to give to this new historical society. The newsletter notified subscribers of events and included valuable pieces on the history of Jews in New Mexico. Biographies and scholarly articles gave the community a greater understanding of the rich history that was available in New Mexico. The establishment of the newsletter and the other projects of the NMJHS followed a long tradition of Jewish historical societies promoting education and the knowledge of American Jewish history. The mission and privilege of Jewish Historical Society was to make people conscious of the role they were playing in American history. The American Jewish Archives also held strongly to the conviction that education and scholarship was a fundamental purpose for the archives. Jacob Rader Marcus, the founder of the American Jewish Archives, also made it clear in his program of the American Jewish Archives that the primary purpose of the repository was to equip scholars with the essential research tools to tell the stories of the Jewish Americans and to promote the study of those materials which will further a knowledge of the American Jew, not only for understanding the present period, but also so that we may grasp the ethos of Americanism and thus make another contribution to the history of humanity. This has been the case of the New Mexico Jewish Historical Society. They have continuously supported talks and workshops that promoted the growing knowledge of Jewish history in New Mexico. On April 8, 1991, Joyce Hoffman wrote a letter to the newsletter commenting that, "Perhaps it is because I read every word and enjoy it enormously that I notice an inordinate number of typos in the newsletter. I am by no means a professional proofreader, but if you would like an extra pair of eyes to proof before you go to press, I would be happy to do so." Susan Campbell responds that she would be delighted if Hoffman would become a member of the newsletter committee. This interaction is not to point out the mistakes that every fledgling publication must go through, but to illustrate the much larger role that the newsletter plays within the Jewish community of New Mexico. Hoffman, feeling a connection with the society, believed that she had a valid concern that could and was addressed by the members. Her concern for the face of the newsletter and offer of assistance was active involvement in a structure, the society, that she felt she had a vested interest to make exceptional. Another example of the newsletter's mutual relationship with the community came after the death of an influential woman in New Mexico Jewish history. Sometime after the death of Carmen Freudenthal, the society received a letter which read, "I wish to report that one of your society members, Carmen Freudenthal, died at 92 on July 14th. Mrs. Freudenthal was one of the most prominent citizens of Las Cruces for more than 50 years. She established the Women's Improvement Association, the League of Women Voters, and Planned Parenthood. She started the library, the non-denominational cemetery, and Pioneer Women's Park." The society received another letter on February 12th stating, "Thank you so much for the nice words that you have written about my mother, Carmen Freudenthal. Unfortunately, the information that you used is almost entirely untrue." And Elsa Altschul explains the discrepancies for the newsletter. Having taken the original missive at face value, the newsletter had published a section dedicated to Freudenthal, errors and all. Aside from a few growing pains, the newsletter, now called Legacy, has been a powerful tool for the strengthening of the Jewish community in New Mexico and allowing the archival records of the Historical Society the ability to speak to people who might otherwise never have examples of the rich history of Jews in New Mexico. After reading an interesting history piece in the newsletter, Harriet Rochlin wrote to Suzanne Campbell, "I was intrigued by James Burns' talk on Bertha Gustorf in your recent newsletter. I'd like to write to Mrs. Gustorf." Bertha Gustorf had been a German immigrant who ultimately became the bank president of Taos after her husband's death. Campbell's response was, "I was delighted to see your letter because it demonstrates how, with the right approach, history can come alive. The article on Mrs. Bertha Gustorf was written in 1936 as part of the New Mexico's WPA project. She's been dead for quite some time now. This interaction embodies the transcendent power of history and the theoretical objective of the Federal Writers Project. The goal of the Federal Writers Project had been to preserve the history of Americans and create a national identity. The conversation between Rochlin and Campbell also illustrates how timeless the story of community can be." Bertha Gustorf's account of life in New Mexico was one of many taken by the Federal Writers Project, a division of the Works Progress Administration. James Burns was one of thousands of writers sent on the mission to capture American culture and history. In August 1935, over $6 million was allocated to the Writers Project, employing 6,500 writers across the nation. There was a group of writers located in every state within the country, and each state project answered to state and national administrators. Of the hundreds of interviews taken in New Mexico, there seemed to be three that relate to Jewish immigrants in the state. Bertha Gustorf, Albert Ziegler, and Henry Lutz were all interviewed. Each of them had immigrated from Germany to New Mexico. The mission of many of these interviews is contentious. Researchers were often sought out to single-mindedly research certain aspects of the history of their state that was of minimal use to state heritage but nationally relevant. Interviews would often focus on sensational topics with New Mexico, such as Billy the Kid, Indian encounters, and migration. The programs within the Southwest were extensive. To perpetuate the cohesive vision of the United States that has been structured by the WPA, one account on the ethnic elements of New Mexico stated that the Semitic and Syrian minorities, like most of the other Mediterranean and North European groups, have very largely merged identities with the American culture in the common worth of settling a new land. These WPA examples are meant to highlight three things: the abilities for the documents to continue living long after the person is gone, the existence of the Jewish history within a national writers project, and the problematic view of Jewish culture in New Mexico. A scholar, Horace M. Callan, titled the struggle between American culture and ethnic identity as cultural pluralism. This struggle leads to the necessity to reconstruct an identity that supports strong ethnic tradition but allows for the influx of new ideas from the new nation. How does one do this? For Callan, Jewish identity has come to mean memory, which is reshaped daily in the dialogue between the varying branches of Jewry. And controlling that social memory could create a sense of heritage and community. Callan believes that the cultural identity is constantly changing through moral choices and reevaluations of accepted norms. A congruent social memory gives substance and validation to beliefs and traditions. There is a fear among varying groups that the culture of the United States will engulf and remove the unique cultural identity of their religion and homeland. Some Jewish immigrants felt that their inherited cultures would have given them a parochial but nevertheless moral vision, were now challenged by the industrial city where they and their children absorbed America's democratic practices. Jonathan Sarna, an influential Jewish historian, also states this problem with the fact that there exists a long-standing fear that Jews in America are doomed to assimilate. And he also writes of the dismissive idea that American Jewish history is the history of assimilation and lost Jewish identity. The way to combat and alleviate this fear is to construct a new identity that incorporates the ethnic identity with the national identity. This construct helps accept new beliefs without losing sight of the importance of old traditions and ideologies. One of the hindrances of forming or reinforcing an American Jewish identity is the variances among Jewish immigrants. Jewish immigrants arrived to America from different nations of Europe with strong, independent beliefs. The Jewish communities are not unified in many instances. There are often language barriers and distinctly different cultural and religious beliefs. New Mexico has a strong history of German Jewish immigrants, an emerging focus on the Spanish-speaking crypto-Jewish population, and other groups of European Jews that have recently located in New Mexico. The archives can address their own limitations with language and cultures of the varying groups of Jewish New Mexicans, or mention explicitly in their collecting policy the desire for the rich context that all of these different groups bring to history. Jacob Rader Marcus called for intra-Jewish assimilation that would bridge the gaps between the Jewish people of Germany, Spain, Eastern Europe, and elsewhere. A collective identity could help construct a historical experience that could link the varying immigrant groups. Through the use of their archives, conferences, newsletter, and other outreach programs, the New Mexico Jewish Historical Society has constructed a shared experience for Jewish Americans in New Mexico. One of the main points that should come across in this research is that the society follows a great tradition of Jewish historical societies and archivists, and with any great deed, great responsibility is also inherent. Rand Jimerson writes that these dual responsibilities of protecting the rights of citizens and preserving cultural heritage give archivists significant power, not only over questions of record keeping in today's society, but in future generations. This responsibility is also bestowed upon the society with its work in preserving and cultivating a substantial Jewish history in New Mexico. With these powers comes a great deal of accountability. Future generations will utilize or dismiss these records on the decisions made today. The preservation of Jewish records by the society is creating a history. It's a conscious effort that like-minded New Mexicans began at a meeting in October in 1986 that pays homage to a much longer American Jewish tradition. And that's it. Any questions? Yes.
Does the New Mexico Jewish History Society have qualifications on what comprises a Jewish family?
Well,
you're familiar with
Mm-hmm. Well, you mean for the...
Who's Jewish and who isn't?
That's interesting. Well, first of all, I know that there is no requirement for being Jewish to be a member of the society, but whenever the papers that are being collected, I'm not exactly sure what their requirements are, but I do know that just recently they've been collecting papers outside of the scope of New Mexico's history in a way, because... They have a collection, and I cannot remember this man's name, but he was a Holocaust survivor who now lives in New Mexico, and so they have his papers from that, which, I mean, actually is New Mexican history now that he's a New Mexican, but still, like, they're actually stretching their, stretching their scope, I guess.
Do you know if you have a blended family, and family has archives?
Yeah. I would think so. Depending on this, I think that they would probably accept them. I don't know how significant they would be, but I mean, like, for instance, with the Bibos, I mean, he married an Acoma Pueblo woman, and so they were definitely a blended family, and they're still very important for the history of New Mexico. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.